This is Darian Sahanaja of the Brian Wilson Band, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we're going to hear from Sunal Jessal of We Act for Environmental Justice, talking about a bill Governor Kathy Hochul hasn't signed yet. It's called the Cumulative Impact Bill, passed by both houses of the state legislature. The bill would require state agencies to consider all the pollution from a community when deciding on a permit for a facility. We'll also hear national headlines from the Public News Service and local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In air waves controlled, on air, in air channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Saturday, June 4th, turn out for a hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus at the North South Lake Park in Haines Falls, put on by the Mountaintop Historical Society. Historian Bob Gildersleeve and geologist Robert Titus lead a hike around the North South Lake to celebrate National Trails Day, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of the area and Titus sharing the geological history. This is at 9 a.m. Saturday, June 4th, and you can find out more information about this and many other local events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Catskill Housing Authority has received a $274,598 grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for renovations in its public housing units. The money will be used by the Catskill Housing Authority to upgrade the Hoppenose public housing development in Catskill. The grant is part of HUD's Public Housing Capital Fund Program, which offers annual support to all public housing authorities to make capital investments in their public housing properties. Quote, it is essential for public housing authorities to preserve existing affordable housing, and this HUD funding will go a long way to assist with major improvements, unquote, said Alika Ampri Samuel, HUD Regional Administrator for New York and New Jersey, in a statement. The public housing authorities are able to use the grant funds to complete large-scale renovations, including roof replacements or making energy-efficient improvements to heating systems or installing water conservation measures in public housing properties. The grant received by the authority is part of a new round of funding from the Federal Housing Agency that provides more than $795 million in funding to 71 public housing authorities in New York. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Andrew Waite reports for the Daily Gazette that Republican Representative Elise Stefanik made a rare appearance at a press conference about milk in Albany May 31st. It was the first time Stefanik faced reporters since 19 children and two adults were murdered at an elementary school in Texas. Stefanik said, and I quote, "I do not support gun control, but there is work that we need to do, and that is increasing mental health funding. We need to increase school resource officers and make sure that we're working with our county sheriffs to protect our schools that are most vulnerable," end quote. Matt Castelli, who is one of the two Democrats seeking the House's North Country seat, pointed out Stefanik was not addressing her constituents, which will not include all Rensselaer County residents because of redistricting. Castelli said, and I quote, "She's not in her district. She's in Albany talking about something that is not related to the job of representing the 21st Congressional District. There should be no more compelling issue facing our country right now than addressing the insecurity that our parents and our kids and our teachers are facing with this threat of gun violence in our schools," end quote. Stefanik did say she supported the Fix NICS Act, which strengthened the federal background check system, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. But Castelli pointed out that Stefanik voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act. Castelli said, and I quote, "I would just like to highlight that she has been in Congress for nearly 8 years and hasn't been able to solve this problem. It's not surprising to hear Congresswoman Stefanik's remarks. She's got a pattern of behavior where every one of her actions is about service to herself. In this instance, it's about putting the needs of her special interest donors and her gun-advocating husband above the lives of our kids and the safety of our communities," end quote. Last week, the Times Union reported that Stefanik's husband, Matthew Manda, manages the public affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation based in Newton, Connecticut. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple announced June 1st that he is ending his bid for state Senate. Apple's decision to withdraw leaves Republican State Assemblymember Jake Ashby and Democratic candidate Andrea Smythe as the two candidates in the newly drawn 43rd State Senate District election. In a post on Facebook, Apple, a Democrat, wrote he loves his job as the county sheriff and he will not make an endorsement going forward. Quote, "I never had aspirations for higher office, but with the support and encouragement I received from residents across the districts, I tried to convince myself this was the next step for me," unquote, Apple wrote. Quote, "I hoped to be a voice for moderate voters who had felt they needed a stronger voice in New York. However, after exploring this opportunity, I'm drawn back to the goal I have always set for myself and my kids, which is to find a job you love and you will never work a day in your life," unquote. Apple rose to statewide stature last year after his office filed a forcible touching charge against former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo denied the accusation, and Albany County Sheriff District Attorney David Soares moved to have the case dismissed, citing a lack of evidence. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Mara Rosner reports for Columbia Green Media. On July 1st, Village of Athens officials celebrated the community's first public electric vehicle charging stations. Athens Mayor Amy Sirago said, and I quote, "This has been a long time coming. We've been looking forward to this visible symbol in the heart of our community that shows we are committed to do our part in the fight against global climate change," end quote. The $41,400 for two chargers with two ports each will be covered mostly by a $10,250 grant from the Athens Community Foundation, $16,000 in rebates from the New York State Energy Research Development Authority, and a $13,700 incentive from Central Hudson. The village will charge citizens $1 per hour for use of the charging stations. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And Melanie Lekosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that the Queeman's Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals on June 1st granted an appeal filed by Town Supervisor George McHugh over a proposed series of music events at Magic Forest Farm. The board's decision likely means the full concert series will not take place, but the farm's operator is hoping to stage one of the events slated to take place in August with 250 people booked to attend. McHugh filed the appeal on April 12th, requesting that the property owner be required to apply for a use variance rather than a special use permit for the full series, which would include on-site camping at the farm located on Bucks Ranch Road. The farm's operator, Jason Ball, and property owner, Joan Mahoney, had applied to the town for a special use permit to hold five concerts beginning in mid-June and continuing through October. This is the first time the farm owner and operator have applied to the Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals for a special use permit for such an event. Ball asked if they would be allowed to hold the smallest concert. Quote, the big guys, they are able to go and get another venue easily, but the 250-person event where it's the band throwing it, it's very difficult for them and they will be out $5,000 or $6,000, unquote, Ball said. Quote, I'm asking if I move forward with one event and abide by the sound ordinance, do I pay a fine or will the event be shut down? What can I do to proceed with one August event, unquote. The town attorney and code enforcement officer agreed to meet with Ball and Mahoney to review the code and see what would be permissible under town law. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Noah Zweifel reports for the Altamont Enterprise that the Carey Institute is selling its historic 90-acre campus in Rensselaerville and has implemented a conservation easement regulating possible future development. Any new building will be limited to a 16-acre zone where there are already existing buildings, and the total square footage of all current and future commercial structures can't exceed an additional 25% of the current total. Mohawk Hudson Executive Director Mark King said that the easement, and I quote, is especially important because of the Institute's proximity to Myosotis Lake, end quote, which is in Rensselaerville's Hugh Preserve. King said, and I quote, the easement also limits the potential for disturbance of steep forested slopes along Route 85 entering the hamlet of Rensselaerville. This helps maintain the visual character of the area by creating a distinct boundary between the hamlet and the surrounding rural and agricultural landscape, something that is frequently lost in communities as development spreads, end quote. The property has been for sale since 2020 for $2.75 million. And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report. And if you need an excuse to move away from fossil fuels, then we can report that the lowest price for a gallon of gasoline in Greene County is $4.69, according to Gas Buddy. That's at the mobile station in Palinville. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Thursday there is a 30% chance of precipitation. Showers and thunderstorms are possible after 3 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 75 on Thursday, and a low around 56 Thursday night with a 60% chance of rain overnight. Friday, again, there's a 30% chance of showers with cloudy skies, becoming sunny later in the day with a high of 71 and a northwest wind 3 to 7 miles per hour with wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour to spin the local windmills. Friday night, mostly clear is the forecast with a low around 50. And then Saturday should be sunny with a high of 69 and a low around 47. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. On Thursday, June 2nd, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC, including at 10 a.m. Cheryl Kay's Got Jazz and New Jazz News on the Situation Fluxus show at 10 a.m. There's music from around the world at 11 a.m. on Transformational Listening, And then we're live from Columbia County with Alan Skerritt for 2 hours of Crossroads in Rhythm with rock, jazz, R&B, funk, and more. At 2 p.m. it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the show that takes brand new music and sets it to the stories of the latest news this week. At 3 p.m. it's time to turn on the news with even more guns. Radia at 3:30 p.m. features Wave Farm's own Andy Stoll with Deprogramming for Your Mind. At 4 p.m. we're live from Hudson with the WGXC Afternoon Show with Cecil Graham and Tom DiPietro. And at 7 p.m. we're live from Catskill, the Catskill Maker Syndicate spot on West Bridge Street, and the Singularity Show, their technology answer show, at 7 p.m. And then 8 p.m. we're live with Anya Kanovskaya and Amanda Lees and Donna and Honey's Love Motel Relationship Show. At 9 p.m. we're live from Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and his pirate radio show Disco 3000. And at 10 p.m. Ted Barron has the Boogie Woogie Crew live from the WGXC Hudson studio on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
After the recent murders of many African-American grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, the March for Our Lives group is organizing protest marches all over the country on Saturday, June 11th. There are two, at least, scheduled so far locally, one in Albany and one in Saugerties, both stepping off at 10:30 a.m. There's more information on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and we'll add other local marches as they are added to the national map.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd for conversations with Cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, June 2nd. Early this morning, temperatures range from 60 degrees in Chatham to 64 in Chichester. Soil temperature is 65 degrees. The morning starts out dry, but rain enters the area this afternoon with some slight chances for thunder. A high of 77 happens at 3 p.m. After dark, the rain gets stronger and lasts all night. Temperatures fall to 60 degrees, but the dew point will be right on its heels, so it will feel pretty muggy. Tomorrow, the rain ends by noontime and temperatures reach 74 degrees. 54 degrees overnight takes us into a nice-looking Saturday with a high of 72. Overnight, you get 50 degrees on the temperature and 40 on the dew point, so it's going to be great sleeping weather. Sunday is looking great as well with a high of 72. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:22 a.m., low tide at 12:28 p.m., high tide once again at 6:21 p.m. And if you believe my current calculations, that sandbar that might be popular for some kayakers and canoers under the bridge will form around 11:10 a.m. Today's river temperature will be 72 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:10 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:18 a.m. Looking way up, we see sunspot AR3027 has a reversed polarity and, as it swings into view, could cause some extra flare activity in the week ahead. Solar wind speed is currently 388 kilometers per second at 3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight with good conditions below 8 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 59, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who will be broadcasting live from the cabana on Spring Street, so everybody listen up tonight at 7 p.m.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio Program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to CatskillMakersInfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra or anytime at WGXC.org.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Here is 2022 new music from Anadol. The song is called Esfalir Gel, and it's from the 2022 album Felicita on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Ooh.
Eros görüyor musun?
Aa, ona rakıdaya. Bana bak.
Mozambik'e gidiyoruz.
Gidiyoruz. Bak bana rakıdaya bak. Rakıda. Gördün mü? Mozambik'e gidiyoruz. Bana bak kılıç balığı. Çok
güzel.
Neredesin?
You're listening to Anadol from their 2022 album Felicita. This has been Essafleur Gel.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It is very rare that a person who commits mass violence has been diagnosed with a mental illness. And when we blame mental illness, we're really not getting any closer to solutions.
Hannah Wesolowski with the National Alliance on Mental Illness addressed misconceptions of mental illness as a culprit in mass shootings. Five people are dead after a shooting last night at a Tulsa, Oklahoma medical building. The shooting marks the 233rd mass shooting this year, according to the Gun Violence Archive. Funerals continue in Uvalde, Texas, for the 19 fourth graders and two teachers shot dead at Robb Elementary School. The state's probe into the shooting faces a new obstacle as the police chief of the Uvalde School District is refusing to cooperate with state investigators. President Biden met with baby formula manufacturers on Wednesday and announced a partnership with an Australian company to ship infant formula to the U.S. to help ease the current shortage.
We will continue to work around the clock with manufacturers, states, doctors, and families.
The president also participated in a U.S. Coast Guard change of command, where Admiral Linda Fagan replaced Admiral Carl L. Schultz as the first female commandant of the U.S. Coast Guard.
To the Coast Guard workforce, today is about you. I'm honored and humbled to serve as your commandant. I've always been inspired by the Coast Guard professionals serving in all our missions around the world.
Vice President Kamala Harris unveiled a White House water security plan Wednesday and emphasized the national security implications of water scarcity.
As our planet warms and weather patterns change, extreme drought is becoming increasingly common. At this moment, about 90 million Americans are living under drought conditions.
Harris said the plan aims to prevent conflict between nations and promote equity and economic growth. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Ukraine has assured allies it will not use advanced weapons systems provided by the U.S. on targets in Russia.
Precisely what they need to defend themselves against the ongoing Russian aggression. That includes more advanced rocket systems so that they can strike key targets on the battlefield in Ukraine from longer distances.
Finally, the U.S. Supreme Court has paused a Pennsylvania mail-in ballot count, blocking a lower court ruling, which said ballots that arrived on time but lacked a handwritten date should be counted. The decision could affect the Senate GOP primary between celebrity surgeon Dr. Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund manager Dave McCormick. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe at Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Inside Radio guesses at what will become this year's Song of the Summer, the song endlessly heard on radios at street parties, around pools, and on vacations. Currently, Harry Styles, As It Was.
You know, it's not the same as it was.
And Lizzo's About Damn Time.
I've got a feeling I'm gonna be okay. Alright, it's about damn time.
Are the songs most likely to become the song of the summer of 2022, according to radio industry experts. But the 2022 song of the summer might come from a previous year. Quote, as catalog music has shown an increase in streaming since COVID, accounting for 70% of listening, according to Luminate, streaming of current titles has fallen another 3.5% in 2022 to date, unquote, the story reports. Two songs of last year's summer, Dua Lipa's Levitating and Olivia Rodrigo's Good For You, ranked number 24 and number 29, respectively, on the current mainstream Top 40 Airplay chart. Quote, a combination of older streamers tuning in, younger listeners discovering decades-old hits through the explosion of social video platforms like TikTok, and listeners turning to familiar tunes for comfort during the pandemic lockdowns all led to a rise in such nostalgia listening, unquote, the Wall Street Journal's Anne Steele writes. So Billboard's Gary Truss says, quote, it's hard for any one song or one sound to dominate streaming like it used to be, unquote. Read more about this story at Inside Radio and read more radio news at wavefarm.org.
Next, we're tuning in 2022 new music from Julian Sartorius. The album is called Mux, and this track is Parlez-vous. Right now we are tuning into the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can find out all sorts of local events, things to do, places to go, people to see, and you can even add your own event there. If you're helping to organize a local event, go to WGXC.org, click on the community calendar, and then click on the add an event button, and then all you have to do is fill in the blanks about what the information for your event is, and soon enough folks will be reading about your event on the radio at 90.7 FM and reading it online around the world at WGXC.org in the community calendar. Events like this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, different times. There are 14 funerals at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. That's the newest performance there. It's from Eric Pleffinger. And you can find out more information on the WGXC community calendar. Friday, June 3rd, the third annual Juneteenth celebration is being held at the Light Forms Art Center on Columbia Street in Hudson. At the Dewey Hall in Massachusetts on Friday, June 3rd, there is a performance from Mamie Minch and Tamar Korn. The Women in Roots series there. at 7 p.m. at Dewey Hall in Sheffield, Massachusetts. In Catskill, at the Avalon Lounge, you can see the band Open Head. They're from Kingston. Sky Creature, I think, are from Albany, and Rebecca Borer is from Hudson. They all perform Friday night, June 3rd, at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, starting around 8 p.m. There will be a live web stream at WGXC.org. Part of the show, I think before 10 p.m., will be on the air at 90.7 FM as well. But all the shows at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill usually have a live web stream that you can access at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org/listen, or click on the listen button if you're on any Wavefarm or WGXC webpage. Saturday, June 4th. You can hike with Bob Gildersleeve and Robert Titus around North South Lake State Park. The Mountaintop Historical Society is putting on the hike, with Gildersleeve describing the cultural history of sites in view, while Titus recounts the geological history. You meet at the South Lake Dam parking lot at 9 a.m. for the four-hour program. And again, go to the WGXC community calendar for more information. There's another walk in Columbia County on Saturday, June 4th. The Field Sculpture Park at Omai hosts a seasonal landscape walk. Bruce Honeycutt leads the way. And that happens from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Art Omai in Ghent. Of course, all this week there are Out Hudson Pride events, June 1st through 5th, and Saturday, June 4th, is the Out Hudson annual Pride Parade, returning after a couple of years' absence due to COVID. Out of This World is the theme, and it steps off at 2 p.m. and goes down Warren Street to the Hudson River waterfront. Also Saturday, June 4th, the Dave Matthews Tribute Band performs at Ski Butternut in Great Barrington. The Mountaintop Historical Society has an evening with authors Russell Dunn and Barbara Delaney. They introduce their book, Paths to the Past, History Hikes Through the Hudson River Valley, Catskills, Berkshires, Taconic, Saratoga, and the Capital Region. That's at the Mountaintop Historical Society, 7 p.m. Saturday, June 4th. Also Saturday, June 4th, the bands Monarch, Han Solo, and Kendra McKinley perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. They are Hudson Valley bands, upstate New York bands all. And also, there should be a live web stream at WGXC.org and a live broadcast on 90.7 FM. Sunday, June 5th, another show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. The early Ben Saraton and M. Geddes Gengras perform. M. Geddes Gengras is from Hudson. Ben Saraton's from Troy. And the early are now in Philadelphia. They perform 8 to 10 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Sunday, June 5th, with a live web stream at WGXC.org. Click on the listen button, or wavefarm.org. Click on the listen button to access either of these events if you can't turn out in person. And again, go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about these events and many others. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Sonia Jessel, who is Director of Policy at We Act for Environmental Justice. She's also the Just Green Partnership co-chair. And they held, along with many other groups, a press conference basically to urge Governor Hochul to sign something called the Cumulative Impacts. It's an environmental justice bill. Briefly, when state agencies are giving out permits, they should consider all the pollution in the community, not just this particular plant. But, you know, welcome, Sonal. And why is this bill so important?
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. This bill is so important because it's addressing a legacy environmental justice issue that has existed for low-income communities and communities of color for generations, not only in New York State, but this is a problem that exists across the country and arguably globally, where you have toxic facilities, polluting facilities, whatever you want to call them. There are bus depots, there are sewage treatment plants, our wastewater treatment plants, our power plants, our big industrial centers, all of the different types of polluting facilities are disproportionately placed in low-income communities and or communities of color across the United States. And this is something we see in New York a lot. For example, we act for environmental justice for the organization that I work at. We are a community-based organization based in Harlem in New York City. And our organization began because of a fight against a sewage treatment plant that was being placed on the west side of Harlem, despite the fact that all the engineers said it actually should have been placed farther downtown. It was considered an act of environmental racism, and that's how we got our start as an organization. Harlem was already home to all these different bus depots and other sources of air pollution that, when you put all of these facilities together in one neighborhood, are creating a toxic soup of poor air quality or water contamination or other environmental hazards that then hurt the health of the community members that live there. So you see higher rates of asthma, cardiovascular illnesses, cancers, and even more. So it's really important for this legislation that we are stopping continuing this pattern of inequitable siting of these toxic polluting facilities in communities that are already dealing with the brunt of these environmental hazards.
Well, many listeners to this station, you know, we follow the fight against Norlite hazardous waste incinerator up in Cohoes. And 2005, maybe, the federal government did a study of the health impacts in that neighborhood. And they said, well, there seems to be significant concerns with things like asthma and cancer and things like that. But, you know, there's so many polluting facilities in the neighborhood, we can't really say it's them that's the problem. And the politicians and the company treated this as, a gold star that they were, not really being responsible. And I also understand this is a bill that really would help with the implementation of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. Requirement to reduce disproportionate burden in what they call disadvantaged communities?
Yeah. So to your first comment, that is exactly what we are trying to change, where the state's permitting process, the review process, it's looking at individual facilities. It's saying this individual facility is not that bad of a polluter. You know, we aren't really too concerned about the health impacts. You can't connect that our facility is causing asthma. It's very hard to prove that thing. And that's what we're trying to change this legislation is saying, no, every facility that wants to site in a disadvantaged community in New York State has to take into account the fact that that community might already be saddled with a number of polluting facilities, and taking that all into account is what you have to do in terms of getting sited or getting your permit approved. And so it is really addressing this issue that companies, facilities are getting away with siting in the same neighborhoods on top of each other because all they have to prove is that their individual facility isn't creating, you know, health or environmental impacts, which is not telling the full story, right? And with the CLCPA, it's absolutely right. We believe that this legislation, we're handing Governor Hochul part of the solution for how are we getting to our emissions reductions by 2050, and particularly, how are we addressing the fact that the CLCPA requires the state to actively reduce disproportionate burden in disadvantaged communities? And that's what this legislation will help the state do, is really redress some of those harms, which is a requirement outlined in the CLCPA.
Now, looking over the letter, there's well over 100 groups. I don't know if you maybe want to mention some of the ones that are part of the core leadership, but, you know, what's been the response so far to the Hochul administration? Are they expected to sign it?
Yeah, so we were able to get a letter of over 100 organizations and experts and advocates and activists that signed this letter asking Governor Hochul to sign the cumulative impacts legislation into law immediately. And some of our core leaders in this fight with WEACT are South Bronx Unite. They're an environmental justice organization based in the South Bronx, where is an area notorious for toxic pollution from facilities. We are also led by Clean and Healthy New York, which co-leads a Just Green Partnership with me, which is a coalition of over 60 groups across the state advocating to have a toxic-free New York State. We are joined by a lot of other groups, New York Lawyers of Public Interest, New York League of Conservation Voters, NRDC, Environmental Advocates, Environmental Justice, New York City Environmental Justice Alliance, Riverkeepers, so many groups really across the state and with a wide interest in why they want to see this bill move forward. And so we sent this letter to the governor, and we are very hopeful that this letter is helping to urge her to sign it into law. We haven't heard any determination on that as of now.
Now, would the law take effect immediately? And in particular, would it apply to renewals of permits for existing polluters that they would have to not just automatically get their permit renewed, but have to take a new look at their cumulative pollution impact?
Yeah, so it's a little bit complicated. The law essentially would take into effect really when DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, creates some good regulation around how this law would be in effect. The way the bill is written, it puts a lot of power in the state to actually decide how, you know, what is a disproportionate burden? How do they make these decisions? So that is going to take time. In terms of the permit renewals, it's a little bit hazy in the legislation. And again, it's something that DEC is going to have to take a really big look at to see how that would work. It could apply to renewals, but we expect that the mechanism would be different from new permits.
Well, I know that was a kind of a big fight with the CLCPA, and I believe the Title V permits, they were basically saying new fossil fuel plants really not going to pass. But now they do seem to have a lot of pressure moving more in a direction to at least applying part of it, not the whole thing, to, you know, permit renewals. So in the last minute or so, if people want to express their opinion, how best can they do that? How best can they follow WE Act and this general coalition effort?
Yeah, so they can go to www.weact.org, WEACT.org. Folks can sign up for our newsletter. They can also sign up for our Climate Justice Working Group. And then they can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, where we keep the public updated about different actions that are going on around this legislation and other similar legislations. And ultimately, they can do whatever they can to urge Governor Hochul to sign this bill into law immediately.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Sonal Jessel, Director of Policy, WE Act for Environmental Justice, and the Just Green Partnership co-chair about the cumulative impacts of environmental justice legislation. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
He's a fan figure of a man in handsome too. With his eyes upon the secret places he liked to undo. Still, he knows who and where. Got all the things you need and some that you will never. But you make him sound like frozen food. His love will last forever. Still, he knows what you want and what you don't allow. Supposed to be, and I know that this will hurt you more than it hurts me.
protecting innocent and proud, still you know what is after. Like a massive dog with his paws up, while we are diving after him. In his turquoise pajamas, in his motorcycle hat. I hope you're happy now, 'cause you're super bad.